Okay, everybody, say today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We're holding right at the end of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, starting the Gemara right after the Mishnah. You recall at the beginning of the Mishnah we learned that the Chachamim were misaking that even though a Cheresh and a Chareshes, a deaf mute, both a male and a female, Min HaTorah, they cannot have Kiddushin because of the fact that they do not have Deah, they don't have Das, but the Chachamim instituted for them a Kiddushin Midrabanan. That's how we had at the very beginning of the Mishnah. If you go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, Chedesh Shinosa Pichas, Pikiach Shinosa Chareshes, Imrotza Lahoitzi Yoitzi, Imrotza Lekayim Yekayim, they can stay together as husband and wife, and if Chas Shalom there's a falling out, they can have a get, and if Cholila, the husband passes away, then she falls to the Yibam, all Midrabanan. Zokti Yomara, Omer Rami Bar Chama, Maishna Chedesh Vechareshes, it's a Kiddul Rabbanan Nisuin, how come by a male and a female chayish v'chareshes respectively, the chachamim were misaken an inyan of kiddushin and nisuin, but when it comes to a male and female a shoyteh, they weren't misaken? Now you're going to tell me, how do I know? Doesn't say in the Mishnah that they were not misaken for a shoyteh shoyteh. I'll tell you, the sign it says in the Braisa. Shoyte v'kotten, shenosu noshim, v'meisu, nishoyseyan peturais min achalitzim min ayibam. If you have a shoyte or a kotten, that married women, their marriage is so meaningless that if and when chas v'sholem the shoyte or the kotten pass away, there's no din of chalitza, no din of yibam, because there was no din of marriage. It's as if they were never, ever married. And therefore there's no din of trying to lahakim li'ochav sheim. In Shkwinka marriage, there's no chalitza, no yim. So, Frank the Gemara, why? Manishtana. Notice that the Gemara only asked so far in a shoteh. We're going to ask shortly in a koton that the chacham also were not misakin. But in the meantime, we're first asking about the shoteh. Both shoteh and shoteh. And I'll tell you what. Chedish v'charesh is tekaima tekanta derabonan tekinu lerabonan nisuet. Shoyte v'shoyta dole kaima tekanta derabonan de ein odem dor im nochash bechvifa achas lo itekinu rabonan nisuet. What does that mean, the chedish v'charesh is tekaima tekanta derabonan? It doesn't mean that they have the intellectual power to be mekayim to fulfill the kind of derabonan. But rather what Rashi says is, since typically a chayish v'chareshes can have a stable marriage, and therefore they are mekayim, they fulfill the designs of the chachamim when they were mesakin this din of kedushin rabbanan. In other words, it wasn't a foolish takana, it was a takana that has fulfillment because a chayish v'chareshes can live together as happy husband and wife. Not only that, you can have at least theoretically a case where the husband is a pikeach and she is a chareshes, or that he is a chayresh and she happens to be a pikeches. And although, of course, things are not ideal, but nevertheless, they can still have a pleasurable married life. And therefore, the Chacham said, there's a reason to be misakin. With the shoyta v'shoyta, unfortunately, because they are deranged, either he or she or both, they're not going to be able to have a happy life together because they're just going to go on a daily basis. It's going to be a major challenge. And presumably they're not going to be able to hold out. What's the expression? Ain't on the door im nochosh. A person cannot live together with a shlang, with a snake, the kvifa achas, in one basket or in one box. Meaning, it's just impossible to live with a shoyta or shoyta because no matter how much you appease them and make them happy and all the rest, they can go berserk at any minute of the day. And so therefore there's no way that there's going to be lasting shalom b'neiha if the chum were not misakin the suin for them.
So if they do have a sort of a sham marriage where they are married, mm-hmm, and one of them is mizana, there's no din of
anyway, they're not bar onshin because
okay,
so we resolved the difference between the chayish and chareshes and the shoyta mit shoyta. But wasn't mit a katan? After all, in the braisa we had shoyta v'katan shenosu noshim. That means that a katan also has no ability to marry. Why not? Why weren't they misakin? Or maishna katan doli tekinu rabbanan nisuin. V'cheirish tekinu rabbanan. He says, I'll tell you why. Nisuin v'cheirish doloi osi liklal nisuin. Tekinu rabbanan nisuin. cotton the osir leklal nisun leketakina rabban nisun. When it comes to a chedesh, he will permanently be impaired because a chedesh, the assumption is, will not ever be able to go and speak, will never be able to go and hear, and therefore his intelligent level will remain the way it is at the inception until he passes away. Mashenkin a cotton, it's just a question of time. When he's 5 or 8 or 10, he's not really a bar nisuin because he has no maturity. But a mitzvah after bar mitzvah will become mature. And therefore, there was no need to have this temporary fix. For a chedesh, we need a fix because it's a permanent fix. But by a cotton, this will get dealt with. Wait a little bit, a little patience, and mitzvah, he'll get of age. Then he'll be able to have proper kiddushin and nisuin. Frank Yomara. However, note that by chedesh v'chareshes, both the male and the female, we were misakin. By the shoyte v'shoyta, both not. By cotton, we also were not misakin, but by katana, yes. Freiti mor by katana, the asal kal nisuin, v'tekinu rabbona nisuin. By katana, if she is missing her father, and she has a mother or an older brother, they are allowed to go and be able to authorize midrabbanan to go and marry her off. Why? It's also just a question of time. Just like by the cotton, you said, wait a couple of years. By the katana, let's wait a couple of years. There we have another concern. The concern is that if she has no father, Rachman Litzlan, and her mother is busy, Nebuch at home, taking care of everything, and she's also working full-time to support the family, so then she's Nebuch, she's going to go and drezach in the gassen, she's going to walk around in the streets, and she's going to be easy prey for an easy victim for those at Chas V'Sholom, these perpetrators that like to cause tzuris. So therefore, we didn't want her, Chas V'Sholom, to be an easy victim for someone. So therefore, let's get her married so that she will have hopefully a stable life. Frank Timora Umaishna Ktana Dimamaena Dimimana Umaishna Chareshisullah Mimana. Just like the Chacham Mumasakin Midrabanan a Kedushin for a Ktana, they were also Masakin a Kedushin for a Chareshis, but there's a major difference. A katana, any time before her bat mitzvah, can go and say, I want out. The chareshes, however, cannot say, she wants out. Why not?
She can't speak.
Or she can make her remizoysav and krizoysav. I'm sorry?
She could still communicate that she had enough.
Exactly right. And it's besides that, if you remember the beginning of the Mishnah, we said yesterday that when it comes to a chedesh v'chareshes, shem shu koines biramiza kachu moitzi biramiza, they can do enough hand signals and gestures to show what they have in mind, even though they're not able to verbalize what they have in mind, but at least they can go and convey the message effectively to get married and to give a get. So presumably they would be able to effectively show Mima Enes, I'm out of here. Easiest way of showing Mima Enes is to go and pack your suitcases and to leave. Anyway, but the point is, why would the Chachamim not misaken the inyan of Miyun by a Chareshes? Says, well, I'll tell you why. Tim Cain, Mimni V'lei Nasvila, because then the menfolk will never want to go and marry the Chareshes. Why? Because they are concerned that any day of the week, if they happen to be in a bad mood, they're just going to say, Mimana, I'm leaving. They won't be able to say it, but they will, by their actions, leave. And it's going to be a terrible marriage. And therefore, they don't want to allow this Chareshes to have the right at any given moment to snap her fingers and to leave. So you're going to say, then, why by katana? Says Rashi, because by katana, it's just a temporary thing. If the katana happens to be in a bad mood one day, so then the husband is going to go and buy her some extra Barbie dolls or some extra lollipops, after all she's a katana, until she'll be appeased. And this will just go on until the bat mitzvah, at which time he's going to have nice balloons and teddy bears, and after that, from that time on, he doesn't have to worry about Miyun any longer. But Chareshes, he has to, the entire lifetime, till 120, he has to worry about that every single day. She's not going to be happy with it, and I have to give another piece of jewelry, and I have to give another this, and another that, and another that. Because any given moment, I'm out of here. So therefore, they were not misak in the inyan of Miyun by a Chareshes. Okay, so all the halachas that we spoke about too now really were related to our Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes on to other halachas which relate to ketanos and to chareshes. Umayishna ketana di ochlo betruma. Umayishna chareshes the loy ochlo betruma. How come it is that if a husband who is a kohen marries a ketana, then there is a din of achilas truma dirabon, not truma diraisa, because menatoyra, they're not married, but truma dirabon. However, when a pikeach, a kohen, goes and marries a chareshes, she cannot eat truma. Why not? That's the Gemara's kasha. Maishna ketana di ochle betruma, maishna chareshes li ochle betruma. Now you're going to tell me, how do you even know? After all, our Mishnah didn't address issues of truma yesterday. So how do I know? Gemara did not. We have a Mishnah. Mishnah Masechtas Idiyos. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoida, al hachareshes shehisiya aviha, a chareshes who her father married off, sheyoitza beget, that she can go out with a get. In other words, when the father marries her off, then the kedushin is effective, and if the husband decides at the end of the day he doesn't want to live with chareshes, assuming that he happens to be a chayresh, he can give her a get, and if he is a pikeach, he can certainly give a get. So therefore, zokti gemara, or zokti yoichim and good gedra, yes, by a chareshes, she's yoitz to be get. And that's really what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, k'shem shu koinis b'remiza, kachu moitz b'remiza. If the chayresh was the husband, so he took her in remiza, when he gives her the get, it's also moitz b'remiza. But it could also be talking about a pikeach that is giving a get to the chareshes, and then you don't need to come on to moitz b'remiza. But anyway, is a din of a get. And then, all of a sudden, Rabbi Yechim and Gudgada changes channel. Instead of talking about a chareshes, he says, Val ketana, bas Yisrael, shenis is l'koyin, sheichel is betruma. And the truma, Rashi says, means truma d'rabanan, because their whole kedushin is a kedushin d'rabanan. So therefore, she cannot eat truma d'raisa. For those of you wondering, what's the difference between truma d'raisa and truma d'rabanan? For instance, truma d'raisa is by dog and tirosh v'yitzar, while d'rabanan is all the other meaning, apples and oranges, peaches, etc. All that is truma d'rabanan. Moreover, in those places where at one time Chazal made a din of Truman Chutzlaretz, or Truman Chutzlaretz also Dirabanan. So therefore, she can go and eat Dirabanan, even though she's a Bas Yisrael, but she married a Kohen, Midrabanan, Truma Dirabanan. Pila Chareshes Liyochla. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan and Gudgada, who is talking about Chareshes, say, number one, Chareshes, Yoytze Beged, and number two, Chareshes is Ochla Betruma? Is Eitzachos Achareshes doesn't eat Truma. So Taka, what's the reason why? If we're going to allow a pikeach to go and give the chareshes to eat truma, I'm afraid that next time, if it will be a kohen who's a chayresh who marries a chareshes, then she might also come to eat truma, says Gemara. Nu, v'leichel, what's the issue? Kotten oichel nevelesu. After all, why is a chayish becharashis any worse than a pikeach becharashis? In both cases, they happen to be a kedusha d'rabbanan. In both cases, we're going to feed her truma d'rabbanan. So, you're saying, I'm worried that the chareshes is going to go and eat truma d'rabbanan. And so, even if you were to tell me that that is osir, v'lechel cotton, so it's no worse than having a cotton eat oichel nevelesu. And in Yatshim, we're going to see tomorrow there's going to be a machloikis in the Gemara whether cotton oichel nevelis, where the bezin is muzar lehafrisham, where the bezin has to stop them. The Gemara over here assumes that there is no requirement on a bezin, or for that matter, a father or anybody else to stop them, because it's a cotton. You're not allowed to go and feed a cotton nevelis, but if he or she decides to go and eat nevelis on their own, there's a mitzvah, of course, of chinuch on a father and on a mother. But other than that, okay, if the cotton is doing whatever he's doing, you know. So what's so vital, what's the issue? So the chareshes is going to go and eat the truma. The problem is not so much the chareshes. Maybe what this is going to lead to is a chareshes who's married to a pichis. The chareshes, of course, is like a chareshes to the cotton. He is not a bar unchen, but she is a bar unchen because she's a pikachas. Just because she's married to a chareshes doesn't take away from the fact that she's a regular, ordinary, normal individual. And therefore, she has all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Frank Dimara, v'chareshes b'pichas nami leichel betruma d'rabanan. Since we're talking about that the whole kedushin over here is a kedushin d'rabanan, so instead of the pikchas going and eating kedushin the truma d'araisa, that I understand that would be problematic. However, since midrabanan there is a kedushin, and since the truma that we're talking about is a d'rabanan dikat truma, no, let her go and eat from the truma d'rabanan. Because I'm afraid once a person starts eating truma, they'll say, nah, Rabban dig a truma, the raisa dig a truma, ah, truma is truma, truma is truma. And then the spikas is going to come and eat truma de raisa. Yes?
Can you explain why they brought in the ochel nevalot nevelis here? What is that trying to, like, what is...
What the Gemara is telling us is, the katan ochel nevelis is really just a term of art, if you will. We don't mean
like a euphemism.
You could refer to it as a euphemism as well. What the Gemara means to say is, anytime you see a katan or a katana eating something which is not kosher,
it's not the end of the world.
That's true. But number two, if there are parents, the parents have a mitzvah chinuch for sure. Question is, does anybody else have a requirement to go and stop them from eating the velus or anything else?
Yeah.
We're going to see Mitchum tomorrow. There's in fact going to be a very strong machloikis on this point, whether a cotton oichon the velus, whether bez mitzuvah hafrishoy or ein bez mitzuvah hafrishoy. Does everybody have to go and stop them or not? If you just want to take a quick look at tomorrow's Gemara, you'll see on the second and the third line of Kuf Yud Dalid Omid Aleph, the very, very top of the Amud, Alma Kasaber Cotton Oichon Nevelis Ein Bez Mitzufan Lafrishai. If a cotton or a katana are eating Nevelis, we do not have to stop them. Let them enjoy life now, because in a few years from now they're going to be a baranch and they won't be able to eat any longer. Again, parents are different, but otherwise Bezin doesn't have to worry about that. So says the Gemara, and when the Gemara was talking about the case of the Chayish V'Chareshes, and maybe she's going to go and eat Truma, no, Ma Kolarashah shall eat Truma. We're not encouraging the eating of Truma, but if it were to occur that she eats Truma, all right, it's not the end of the world. I think you said that before.
So when's an example of something a katana does that the Beis Din would have to step in and...
According to this, the Ein Bez Mitzvah Mefrishay, to my knowledge, is nothing. Unless the Chas Hashem, she's injuring somebody else.
Right, if she's stabbing someone,
yeah,
then of course, they have to step in.
But it's not so much because of the Ketana's misdeeds, it's because the damage that he or she, is causing to somebody else. We want to protect the other person's life or property or something like that. Anyway, see, it's interesting that the Gemara started off that the reason why a pikeach, the chareshes, we don't allow if the pikeach, again, is a koyin, and she is a chareshes, and their kedushin is rabban. The reason why we don't allow them to go, we don't allow him to feed her or to give her truma mid rabbanan, is because a gzeira of chedish b'chareshes. Because I'm concerned that there too we're going to allow the chedish to give the chareshes to eat. The Gemara says, no, and so what? So we're getting, the reason is because if we're going to allow chayish v'chareshes, we're going to come to allow a chayish and a pikchis. No, so let them eat truma d'rabban, and what's the problem there too? Says Yimara gzeira because of oicheles b'truma d'araisa. So if that's the case, l'choyr the Gemara could have gone straight from our case of the chayish with the pikchis to the pikeach v'chareshes. Why do we need this chayish v'chareshes intermediary? So Rashi says, because we couldn't have gone directly from a pikeach v'chareshes to a chedish mitapikchis, because that's, if you will, a little bit too remote. I wouldn't think that I have to be concerned about a man who's married to chareshes, that, if I'm going to allow it to go and eat truma drabanan, it might come to the case of the chedish and the pikchis that she's going to come and eat truma di iraisa. But if the chedish v'chareshes is in between, then we could have, I'm going to mistake the case, or I could come to the error of substituting or be confusing the case of a bikech v'chareshes with the case of a chedish v'chareshes, and then I can come from the chedish v'chareshes to the case of the chedish and the pikchis. That's what Rashi learns. If you see Rashi almost halfway down the Amud, this is only a partial answer. It's not really a full-fledged answer yet. Why? Because we asked the question, why can't a pikeach, who marries a chareshes, allow her to go and eat truma, truma drabanan? So the Gemara says, you know why? Because of chedish v'chareshes. So Zokrashi, mali pikeach v'chareshes, mali chedish v'chareshes. Shneim ein nisuim, both of them are not nesuin min hatayra, only min drabanan. Vim zu muteris, and if the rabbanan said that the pikeach is allowed to give the chareshes to eat from truma drabanan, shavzu muteris. So manishtan and the chareshes should both be the same, because after all, the both kedushin drabanan, and both of them, the wife is a chareshes. So what's the difference? Sari tzad hetishalhen. The reason why we allow them to eat truma drabanan is because anyway they're not bnei oinshin, chayde shoyt v'katan are not bnei oinshin. V'avikatan oichin levelis, and therefore you don't have to go and be mafresh them. Ela kula mishum gzeira shemiyachol chayde shbepikches. Ah, both in the first case that we were talking about the pikeach and the chareshes, and the chayde shvechareshes are both because of shemiyachol chayde shbepikches. Ve'ikach aleha. Chiyav Misa, on her, since she's Bikachas, she's a regular, normal young lady, if she were to go and eat Truma de Oiraisa b'meizid Chas Hashem, there'd be a Chiyav Misa. Kinam Rinim b'maskana demilza. And that's why we said at the end of this shtickle, Gezeira Misham Truma de Oiraisa. Ay, l'hachi noke b'reish Hashem yachal chedesh b'chereshes. Why didn't we go directly v'le noke Hashem yachal chedesh b'pikhes? I'll tell you why. Says Rashi Misham de chedesh b'pikhes The Chachamim were not concerned about potential confusion. Chedesh mitpikches to pikech bechareshes. Aval chareshes, eishes chedesh, michlefa bechareshes, eishes pikech. I could have mini steps. I could have confusion between a pikech with chareshes to a chedesh bechareshes. V'had the michlef, chedesh baal pikches, bechedesh baal chareshes. So therefore Rashi says, that's why the Gemara seems to be a little bit wordy, that goes from Pikeh v'chareshes to Chedesh v'chareshes to Chedesh v'pikches, because Rashi says from step 1 to step 3, the Chachamim felt there was no potential for confusion. However, this confusion from 1 to 2 and 2 to 3, if I'm going to allow a Pikeh v'chareshes, I'm going to allow for a Chedesh v'chareshes. Once I allow for Chedesh v'chareshes, I'm going to allow for a Chedesh mitabikches. Then there's a good reason to be geyser, because it's no longer a cotton oichel nevelis. Now we're talking about a gedola who's oicheles, not nevelis, but potentially truma d'araisa. And therefore they said, you know what, we're not going to allow it. However, by a ktana, we don't have that issue. As long as she's a ktana, she's a ktana. I, says Rashi, may I'm going to confuse a godel mitagtana for a cotton mitagdoila. Says Rashi, there's no reason to go and be geyser, because the ain lekotan nisuin. There is no such concept of a cotton getting married. That was the price that we had on the bottom of the omid. Shoyt v'kotan shenosu noshim v'mesu. The women are part of chalitza v'yivim, because that marriage is a meaningless marriage. Continuing on the Gemara. Now let's go and talk about other halachas. U'mayishta ketana de'islo ksuba, u'mayishta charesh is the lesser ksuba. If a husband gives a ketana a get, he has to pay her a ksuba. However, if a pikeach gives his chareshes a get, he doesn't have to give a ksuba. Why? Says, I'll tell you why. Dim kein, mimni v'loi nasvi lo. Reason is because I'm afraid that no one is going to want to marry the chareshes.
How would that occur if she's given a ksuba? Like, why is her being given a ksuba would...
You only
negate her prospects of marriage.
Good question.
The answer is because marrying a chareshes is like marrying anyone that has a major blemish, a major deformity.
Right.
A regular individual, Baruch Hashem, is 100% with his faculties, doesn't normally want to go marry a chareshes. So we want to give a little bit of a financial incentive. Mm-hmm. What is a financial incentive? That just in case things don't work out, this guy's a tzaddik, he's willing to go and live with chareshes who cannot hear and cannot speak, but he's a good guy and says, I see the wonderful midos in her, and therefore I'm willing to go and take her under my wings, even though I know that she has a major issue. So the financial incentive is that if Chas V'Shalom, he just cannot hold out. People think that they'll be able to hold out, but after 3 days or 3 months or 3 years, he said, I just can't take it any longer.
What about her? Once she's let go, she has nothing to... Right?
There's no question about that, but that's... Kodesh Baruch Hu created her in that way, Kodesh Baruch Hu in his divine wisdom, and so therefore the same Kodesh Baruch Hu will have to provide for her too. But we're just saying that if we want men who are pikchim, regular, normal, ordinary individuals, to go and marry chareshes, the financial incentive is that if things just don't work out, you don't have to go and give a ksuba at the end. She's eventually going to become a gedola anyway, and of course then she'll be entitled to a ksuba. So therefore, the Chacham said, you already are mechayev a ksuba at this time. And as far as a ktana, Rashi said earlier, you can always be mefayis her more easily than a mefayis means to appease, as opposed to a chareshes, where appeasement is going to be very difficult. Because people won't want to marry. Now, the Gemara gave that as a given, that a ktana is laksuba, and a chareshes is less laksuba. Frank, how do you take know that? Uktana minon is laksuba, how do you know? Now we have a Mishnah. Which day the Mishnah Mesechtes Ksubis, we're going to see that in Mir Shem shortly. Hamimaenis, Vahashniya, the island is Englan Ksuva. If you have a case of Ma'enis, that's our Kitana, who is Mimaenis. Vahashniya, someone who is a Shniel Aroyas, which he had earlier on in our Mesechta, not those Aroyas in the Torah, but the next generation, like a great grandmother or something like that, things of that nature. The island is, of course, is a young lady that unfortunately is barren and cannot have children. And all of those three cases, if a husband, or in the case of Ma'enis, she's Ma'enis on her own. In the case of the Shni and the Islandis, if the husband gives a get, England Ksuba, they don't receive a Ksuba. Now the question is, why don't they get a Ksuba? The reason by Ma'enis is because she is leaving Baal Karchoi. Normally the get is Baal Karcha, right? That the husband can give a get at any time in a Torah, whether the wife consents or is happy, upset, makes no difference, he gives her a get. So he has to give her a Ksuba as well. However, him and Menas, she goes out on her own. You want to leave on your own? Gesundheit. I don't have to go and give you a ksuba. I wish you would stay with me. But you want to leave? Leave. Gesundheit. So you don't have to give a ksuba. Shni, of course, midivrei sofrim, the chacham to go and put teeth into their takana. They said, if you do marry a shni and you're going to be over this isidra banan, no din of ksuba. Gabi Island is, Rashi said, we're talking about a situation where it was a mekach tos. And when he originally married her, he assumed that she was able to have children. Unfortunately, what? She's not able to. Yeah, was
sorry, what are you being over the Rabbanan?
By Shnia. Shnia means a person who marries his great-grandmother or his great-granddaughter. In the Torah, for instance, it only says, es bas b'no, vi es bas b'to.
Right.
Legale servosa. You're not allowed to go and marry a granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's b'na Torah. What happens if the person decides to go marry his great-granddaughter?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? No, but there's people that do a lot of nonsensical things in nowadays. And so therefore, if a person were to marry his great-granddaughter, it's not awesome in Antoinette, it's awesome in Rabban. And therefore, the same Rabbanan said that if people do engage in such relationships, then we penalize her and we take away from her ksuba. That's because we don't want to entice a lady to go and you're going to say, why don't we go and penalize him instead of penalizing him? No, we had a discussion about that earlier on in the Gemara. Sometimes who margila, sometimes he margila soy, sometimes he is the one that seduces and provokes the marriage, sometimes she does. Anyway, that's the halacha mema'enes, shniya and ayinus don't get a ksuba. Now, why does it say mema'enes doesn't get a ksuba? Why doesn't it go and say that in the mema'enes that a katana doesn't get a ksuba? Because the answer is, a ketana does get if she receives a get. However, if she's memenis on her own, then there is no ksuba. So that's what the Gemara is medayi. Abel yoytze beget. These three, memenis, shniya, v'aylenis, they go out with a get. Memenis, of course, goes out on her own. But the shniya and aylenis, they yoytze beget. Uktana, yesh l'ksuba. By the fact that it says memenis doesn't have a ksuba, is the chasim and the ketana, yesh l'ksuba. That's the Gemara's deal. Then the chareshes minon is the less laksuba. How do we know chareshes does not get a ksuba? The sign says in the braisa, chedesh v'shoite shenosu pikchois. You have a male chedesh or shoite that married pikchois. When a shoite marries, we said before, it's a meaningless marriage. But if he married nevertheless, avu bishen is pakeach a chedesh v'nishtafa shoite. Even if ultimately the chedesh baruch Hashem gets healed and now he's able to speak and to hear. Vinishtafa Shoita, and the Shoita Baruch Hashem was also went to a good psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever, and they were able to remedy, and the person became quote unquote normal. Ein lehem aleihem klum. At this point, if and when there was Chas Shalom a get, they had no right to receive a ksuba, because since the original marriage was a marriage derabanan, by Chesh was derabanan, by Shoita there was no marriage whatsoever. So even when they become normalized, they become normal, at that point, they still have no requirement of the ksuba. However, Ratzel Kaiman, if after they became normal, the Chayrish Baruch Hashem is able to hear and to speak, the Shoyt is no longer deranged. If they want to continue the marriage, oh, that's a different story. How do you do continue the marriage? By doing a bia. That's a confirmation, a reconfirmation of the original wedding vows. Now, since they happen to be quote-unquote normal, they gish them ksuba. From this point on, if they did want to give a get, they'd have to give a ksuba. Yes?
This is a double shebe mamon. You need edim for that in order to get money out. Bia is in private.
Right,
there's no edim.
No.
So how do we activate the din of dashum shel ksuba without edim, but double shebe mamon?
No, we're assuming that there was no controversy. In other words, they both got normal, and they stayed with their wives for the next year or two, and then after a year or two, then they decided, now that I'm normal, I can get better women. The only reason why I took this lady is because Nebuchadnezzar had my deformity. But now that Baruch Hashem I came here, what do I need her for? I can go get a choshevale. I'm just giving you a possibility.
But we had in the Mishnah just yesterday that after 30 days, that person was...
You're talking about Yimim and Chalitza, that she can go and insist.
Right, but same thing also, if he's 30 days with her...
Oh, you're saying that we take...
Assume.
According to Rameyer, there's an assumption that if they stayed together in the same household, that they probably were intimate at some point. Very good. Shkoyach. And then you gave us a ride yesterday from the case of the Fastoyah. Shkoyach. Yes, sir.
So in this same scenario where somehow miraculously the deaf or the shota get fixed,
yes,
could they now also undertake, if need be, chalitza or yibam?
Chalitza yibam, we had, if you remember, the Gemara said that we look at the shas nefila. What was the lashon ha-Gemara? Gemara said, kol yivama she'ein ani koira b'shas nefila yivama yovei aleha. We take a snapshot of what happens at the time of the Petira. At that time, is he or she normal, quote-unquote normal? Yes, they can perform Yibam Chalitza. If, however, at that time, unfortunately, they were not, 5 minutes later, miraculously, everything is fine. Too late, there's no mitzvah of Yibam Chalitza. Getting back to our Gemara. So what does it say? That if they wanted to, as long as the Chayiv Shoyter were married in the Malayim Klum, meaning there is no Ksuba, Ratzel Kaiman, if after they get normal again, Baruch Hashem, and they continue living together, and as Brother Shai said, and as we heard, after 30 days there's an assumption, at least according to the mayor, that they're living together, so then Yesh Lom Ksuba, then there would be a Chayiv Ksuba at this point. Anyway, so what do we see clearly from this? That there was no din of a Ksuba by the case. Well, so far we're only talking about the Chedesh v'shoita. We haven't spoken about the Chareshes. We're trying to bring a raya that by a Ketana there is Ksuba and by Chareshes there is not. So let's bring the raya by Chareshes. So we continue on the Braisa. U'bikeh shenos Chareshes. Oy shoita. Afilu kosev lo mea mana Ksuba kayemet neishirotza lozik ben achosev. What the Braisa is telling us is a bikeh that marries a Chareshes or a shoita, there is no requirement to give a Ksuba at all. If he wants to, gesundheit, people can do whatever they want with their money. I feel the cost of law, even if he writes a huge ksuba, not just 200 zuz, but mea mana. Ksubasa kiyemis, the ksuba is good, because if that's what he decided to do. Mepnei shiratza lozuk b'nechosav. So what means lozuk? Rashi says lozuk is coming from a lashon of hezek, that he wants to go and damage his own estate. Meaning, if he wants to go and throw out money in the trash bin, out the window, in the Beis Akisei, if you want to do that, that's, you know, it's your decision. Says the Braisa, time in the rot, it's only because he wanted to. Holy rot, but if he didn't want to, ain lo, he doesn't have to go and give a suba. What's the reason why he doesn't have to? Like we said before, dim kei min liv lenaspila. We want to encourage and incentivize pikpikchem to go and take charoshois or shoitois, to keep them off the streets, and people shall yinagu mehen minig hefker, be a wonderful thing. But if he's going to have to pay eksuba, he may not want to take these young ladies under his wings, so therefore there is no requirement. But if you want to, he's untied. So our Gemara is loshen neshirotza lizoik. Rashi says from a loshen of hezik, if he wants to, you know, lose his money, that's up to him. The Bach, whoever has a small change, instead of lozuk, It's lozun, lozun from a Lashon mezoinais. Nisharotza lozun minachos. If he wants to be generous and gracious and give mezoinus to his wife from his nechosim, meaning even after this marriage terminates, he doesn't want her to be lost, so he gives her this humongous ksuba, nisharotza lozun minachosim, because he wants to continue feeding her even post the end of the marriage. Well, that's a wonderful thing. But obviously there's no requirement, only if he wants to. Frank Dimori Haki, Pichas Lecherish Liskin Loksuba, the Imkain, Mimnivalin Minasvi. Why don't you go and see the other way around? If you have a Pichas and a Cherish, you want to incentivize her to go and marry the Cherish so that the Cherish Nebuch is not left without anyone. So here we should throw in a financial incentive. There, the financial incentive by the Pikeach. And the Chereshes, the financial incentive was that if you cannot stand this marriage, you don't have to pay a ksuba. Here, we want to incentivize a Pichas to allow herself to be married to a Cheresh, so we should be mesakin a ksuba for her. Otherwise, the Pichas will say, why should I go marry a Cheresh? I can go and marry a regular guy. The reason is, the Gemara says this a number of times, that both a man and a woman have a desire to get married, regular people. However, the woman's desire to get married is much, much stronger than the male's desire to get married, because she wants to be a wife, she wants to be a mother. That's the normal nature of women. And so therefore, you don't have to give her any financial incentive. Even without a financial incentive, if she doesn't have anybody else, she'll marry a cher, she'll marry somebody. The Gemara says, Tav l'meisiv tandu m'lameisiv armala. She prefers sitting together with somebody else as opposed to sitting all by herself as an almano, as a spinster. Very strong desire on the part of a woman to go and get married. I had a partner many years ago who was a very, very brilliant young lady, and her brother lives in Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda Vishamron is a frum fellow. She is a b'shvach. Anyway, she was not married, and she was making lots and lots of money. Very, very, very brilliant lawyer. And we invited her to our house for Chanukah, to join us for Sukkot Chanukah. And then when I was off doing whatever, my wife and she had a chance to speak. And then she said to my wife, she being this brilliant, brilliant, hotshot lawyer, said to my wife, if God would allow me to, in 1 second I would go and switch positions with you. That you have a husband and that you have children and that she's all on her own, even though she's brilliant, she's written articles and she's written this and that and millions of dollars. She said, I'd give it all away in 1 second to be married and to have a family. So when I heard that from my wife, I said, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yois Mishish Roitz Lisa, Isha Roitz Linose, Tav Lameis of Tan, Dum Lameis of Aramala. A woman wants to be married, wants to have a husband, wants to have a family. She has a mother nature in her, etc. Anyway, getting on to the Moravita. So what did we just say now? A cheresh and a pikchis. There is no din of giving the... you do not have to give a ksuba. Nevertheless, the Moravita tells us a story. Ahu cheresh. There was a cheresh who lived in the town, in the Sviva, in the neighborhood of Rav Malkiyoy. Probably the same Rav Malkiyoy that we have a few times in Shas, Rav Malkiyoy, Rav Malkiyoy. But we don't have that today. What does it say about this Rav Malkiyoy? In Sive Itza, since the Cheresh himself was impaired, so Rav Malkiyoy became like a shtickel apotropos, a shtickel guardian. And what did he do? He made sure that she got married because of law, and he made sure that the Cheresh would give a very nice ksuba of Arba Meya Zuze Menechse. This wasn't required. We said a Cheresh Bikachas, he doesn't have to. But Omer Rava, Rava nevertheless praised and extolled Rav Malkiyoy and said, Man Hakim Ker Malkiyoy, the Gavar Rabu, he's such a smart individual. Gosovar, Rav Malkiyoy made a very simple financial cheshbin. Ilu Rotze Shivcha L'Shamshoy, if as an apotropos, if he wanted to go and get a shivcha to meshamish this cheresh. In other words, get a housekeeper to go and get a maidservant to go and help out at home. Wouldn't we go and pay money for that? After all, housekeeping services and owning slaves and maidservants, that's expensive. Wouldn't we have paid for that? Koshkin hachadikatarti. By him marrying a wife, he has now both services. Baruch Hashem, number one, he's married, and number two, he has someone to take care of the house and the laundry and everything else. All the normal services that wives provide. So therefore, we'd have had to pay anyway. So Baruch Hashem, now we have double. And therefore, it's a wonderful thing that Ramakiyoy did. Right, to Omer B'chi Barashi, Omer Shmuel, Eishas Chedesh in Chayoven Oleha Oshem Toli. If a person were to go and live, be mezana with an Eishas Chedesh, you don't have to pay an Oshem, you don't have to give an Oshem Toli. What does the Gemara mean with this? An Oshem Toli is a carbon that you give when you have a doubt. The famous case that the Gemara always gives is a case of Chedev and Shuman. Person ate a piece of Shmaltz, and Shmaltz means fats. He's under the impression that it's kosher shmaltz, and afterwards he finds out that it was not, it was chaylev. If you know for sure that you ate chaylev, then you have to bring a korm chatzis. But what happens if you're not sure? For instance, it was on the table, two pieces. There was a piece of chaylev and a piece of shuman. You and I knew which one was which. A person comes on the scene, he didn't realize one was chaylev, he thought them both were shuman. He took one of them, he made a fat sandwich out of it, literally fat sandwich, and he ate it, and it was geschmack and delicious. After that, we come by, there were two pieces here before. One of them was chaylev, one was shuman. Yeah, I ate one of them. Which one did you eat? The one on the right and left? I don't know, I just ate one of the pieces. I cannot tell now the remaining piece whether that was shuman or chaylev, and whether he ate shuman or chaylev. In the meantime, he has to bring an Oshem Toli. Oshem Toli is for those cases where you're not sure, maybe yes, and you're hoping eventually you'll know the truth. If it turns out that it was Shuman, Baruch Hashem. If it turns out that it was Chaylev, and you find out, then you'll have to bring a Karmel Chatos at that time. The Oshem Toli is Megin Min HaYisurim. It goes and protects you in the meantime that you shouldn't have any divine ills because of the fact that you ate Chaylev. Good. So now what happens if I have an Eishes Chaylish? And the person lived with that Eishes Chedesh. Not a nice thing to do. But we're talking about, again, he didn't do it amazing. He wanted to chas v'shalom be mezana. He did it now b'shagi. So the question is, do you have to bring an Oshem Toli, yes or not? Yeah?
Sorry, maybe I missed something. How can you live b'shogeg with an Eishes
Chedesh? Very good question. And Rashi says you can have, for instance, if
dark
you have...
room.
Sorry?
A dark room.
A dark room. If you recall... from the, as you like to call it, the scriptures, we had Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu went and married and lived with Leah, thinking that it was Rachel. How is that possible? They obviously look different. They were not twins. The answer is because it was dark and there was no light. And Schultz gave the simonim. True. But the point is that there is this possibility. So you have a person who there was in his house, there were two women, both his wife and this Eishes Chedesh. He thought he was living with his wife. Perhaps they were both a little bit... They had just traveled now 28 hours without sleep, so therefore they were both out of it. And he lived with one of them. He wakes up in the morning, and I think I made a mistake. I'm not sure. It was dark at night. I don't know exactly what happened. I'm not sure. He asked the women. They have no recollection of anything happening overnight because they were just fast asleep. So now, is this likely to happen? I'm not saying it's going to happen. Were it to happen, does he have to bring a carbon Oshem Toli or not? Okay, you happy with that?
It just seems so, like, you would assume that a married man and another woman, they would have sleeping arrangements that would...
You're talking about normal situations where you have multiple rooms. During, for instance, when people, during Rahman al-San, during the World War II, there were people in ghettos, you had three families living in one room together, right? Okay. So, did it happen? I hope not, but you never know. Anyway, so getting back to why would there be a din of an Oshem Toli? So if you look at the Rashi on the fourth wide line down below, Ein Chayoven Olea Oshem Toli, Deneima, Sofik Eishes Ish Hi, Sofik Hoye Boy Das, Sofik Ein Boy, Vabo Olea Bo Oshem Toli, maybe by a Chedesh I have a Sofik. Does he have enough intelligence to be considered to be a regular gadol, or does he not have enough intelligence? And therefore, if I'm not sure, did he or didn't he, maybe this was a good marriage to Yeraisa, maybe it wasn't a good marriage. No! You have nothing to speculate. Chedesh does not have enough intelligence to rise to the level of a real ishus, and therefore, even if he has a suffix, if he lived with her, yes or no, makes no difference.
It wouldn't be a ishus, of course.
Sorry?
There would not be an Issa.
There wouldn't be an Issa Karis, there wouldn't be an Issa of Eishes Ish.
A Chattas Kavua.
There wouldn't be a Din of a Chattas, no Din of anything, because we're assuming that the marriage Min HaToyra was zero. he'd be over the din of Eishes Ishkar Rabbanan, but for that there's no Misa. At most they'd get to Malkus, Makus Mardus, or something of that nature, because he's not an Eishes Ish. The Chedush can go and say, he can't say anything. The Gemara assumes that he doesn't have the level of intelligence, and therefore he's just like a Shoyter Akan. By the way, all of this is talking, of course, about the Yom Mahen. There are modern-day tshuvas from, for instance, Rabbi Avadya Yosef in the Abia Omer, that since we know from the famous case of Helen Keller, as well as presumably many others, exactly, that nowadays you could have, you can have deaf mutes who are now no diminution in mental capacity. They can be edumacated through sign language or remizois and kritzois like we had yesterday. If in fact that's the case, says Rabbi Avadya Yosef Zatzal, that the woman would be considered, the man or the woman would be considered to be like a regular godoil u gedoyla. Therefore, they would not have the exemption of the chedesh shaita b'kar.
Does the Talmud consider someone who's blind on the same level of diminished capacity as deaf?
There is a madiyama that holds that sumas potim in a mitzvah. But usually,
these laws that we're learning that are applicable to a cheresh, would that also be applicable to an eved?
It's a good question. You'd have to look at look each halacha. Right. I think the assumption is that a suma does have the full mental capacity. So presumably, if he married someone, then there would be a din of eishes ish min hatorah. But there are some that say in the Gemara that a suma is potim in a mitzvah, even though he or she may be part of an amitzis, but doesn't take away from the fact that they have the ability to do a kinyan. So if he or she got married, then the presumption would be it would
so
be a full-fledged
case. Like with a cheresh, there's no ketubah or...
Exactly,
would
we wouldn't have...
Bio,
I don't think so. But Nitzchem, the shas is long. So you never know, we might come across such a gemara. So getting back to our gemara now. So Shmuel says, Eishes cheresh ein chayovan aleha, because the assumption is that there is no issues to a cheresh. So yes, he went and married somebody, but that marriage has no validity, no efficacy, and therefore, if a person were to live with her, zero mitzira. Why do we focus on the oshem toli? Why don't we focus on the chatzis? Why don't we focus on the koresh, on the skila, all the other things? You'll see momentarily. Frank Timur, not Frank Timur, Zok Timur, Lein Misayle, let's bring a ride to Shmuel. We have a Mishnah Mesechtus Trumais. The following five individuals should not go and be mafresh the truma. The imtarmun, if they were mafresh the truma, ain't trumas and truma, that has no validity. The elohen, who are the five? The chedesh, the shoyt, the kotten, v'atayinu v'sheinu shaloi. If I want to be a good Samaritan and give truma on behalf of somebody else, I know you don't like the expression good Samaritan, but if I want to go and give truma on behalf of somebody else,
a good skite.
With a good skite, yeah, without his permission, without his authority, or you have an oivik chom shetarum shel Yisrael, afil b'shus Yisrael, and Yisrael asks the goy, please, I'm too busy, you give the truma on my behalf. All of these five ain't trumasai truma. The truma is worthless. Notice that the first one of this five was a cheirish. Now, why would a cheirish be ein trumasi truma? Because he doesn't have the mental capacity to go and do a even if physically he did it, but it's not considered to be a valid hafroshas truma. So just like it's not hafroshas truma because he doesn't have the capacity for that. So that's Shmuel relies on that mission. The same thing that when he marries when a cheirish marries, it's also gunish mitkush. So Timur, no. Nishkarai. The Gemara started off Leinu Messiah. He said, no, Nishkarai. Who the Yomakir Blaza? It could be that Shmuel holds like Reblaza. Desani, what does Reblaza say? Desani, Reb Yitzchak, Oy Mishim Reblaza. Trumas Cheresh, Loi Tzeitze Lechulin, Mameishu Safi. That in fact, if Cheresh gave Truma, don't say automatically, ain't Truma, say Truma. No! Loi Tzeitze Lechulin, don't say it's nothing. It might in fact be something, because a Cheresh might have enough intelligence to make this a real valid truma, so it's a suffix. Ah, if Shmuel holds it, it's a suffix, then why does Shmuel hold that by Eishes Cheresh ein chayoven aleha oshem toli? Yisvira kerbloza, oshem toli nami l'chayv, if telling me it's a suffix, then bring in oshem toli, because if the Cheresh might have enough intelligence, so why isn't there an oshem toli? This is because of a technicality. What's the technicality? When it comes to an Hashem Toli, there's a machloikis, whether you have to have chaticha mishtei chatichos or not. What is this concept of chaticha mishtei chatichos? You remember when we spoke about before the case of the chedev and the shuman, we said that there are two pieces of fat here on the table. One is kosher, one's not kosher, and I don't know which one he ate. that everybody agrees that's a din of Ashem Tovim. What happens if there's only one piece of schmaltz on the table and the person ate it, but I don't know whether that schmaltz was Shuman or Chalev? There are many that hold that there you don't have a din of Ashem Tovim. It's got to be Chaticha Mishtei Chatichos. Why does it have to be Chaticha Mishtei Chatichos? Rashi brings it straight in the Pasuk. A person that does Achas Mikol Mitzvos Hashem Alikoy Yashaloisi Asen of Yashem. A person did achas mikol mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is a lashon rabim. Achas is one. If you do one out of two, that there were two chatichos. And therefore, that's the reason why if a person went and lived with an eishes chedesh, assuming that she was the only lady there, Rashi said you could have a situation with an eishes ish and an eishes chedesh. His wife is there and the eishes chedesh is there. But if there's only an eishes chedesh alone and he were to go and live with her, then the reason why he doesn't have to bring an oshem toli, even if you hold that there's a suffix whether this issue is chal min ha-toyra, because maybe he did have enough intelligence after all, nevertheless you don't have to bring an Hashem Toli because of the fact that it's not chaticha mishtei chatichas. Freiti mar mi boi Reb Loza chaticha mishtei chatichas. Does Reb Loza subscribe to this requirement? But tani Reb Loza oimer, kvi chayoven al chelboi Hashem Toli. If a person eats chaylev of a kvi, he's chayv. What does he bring about this kvi? As we know, a kvi is a suffix behema, suffix chayev. The Isra of Chaylev only applies to Behemah, it doesn't apply to a Chay. We don't know whether Kvi is a Behemah or a Chay. That being the case, Rabbi Loza says, Kvi, Chayov and Al-Chalbi Yashem Toli. You have to bring an Yashem Toli. Obviously, there's no Chatich Mishtei Chatich, we're talking about one shtik schmaltz from one Kvi. Is it considered to be a Behemah? It's considered to be a Chay. See, it doesn't require Shtei Chatich. Shmuel holds like Reb Loza in the case of that the Chirish might have enough intelligence to be Mechayiv the Oshem Toloi. But you know why you don't have to bring the Oshem Toloi? Because it was only Chaticha Achas and not Shtei Chatichas. There was another version of the same Shmuel, just the opposite. If a person lives with her, then he has to bring an Oshem Toloi because maybe the Chedesh had enough intelligence that there is an Issa D'Oraisa over here. So Gemara Meisvei, Chamisha Lo Yitroimu, I see that the Chedesh has absolutely no level of intelligence so that the Truma is Ein Truma, say Truma, it's zero. Evidi Morsa, but like Reb Loza. It could be that Shmuel holds like Reb Loza. No, that if a Chedesh were to give Truma, it's a Safik. Efshi Yol good to Truma, Efshi Nishke good to Truma. And that's why Shmuel says, Eishas Chedesh, Chayobin Alea, Marshan Tosu. Now the Gemara wants to understand where does Reb Loza come from and say that a Chedesh, his Truma might be a good Truma. I mean, we always learn throughout Shas, Chedesh Shoy Tevekon, I have no intelligence in it. All of a sudden we're saying, Efshiyah. Where does this Reb Loza come from? So boy Reb Ashi, might have Reb Loza. Mifshe Pshitele is that he holds for sure the Chedesh Daita Klishtahu. There's no question about it that his intelligence is a lighter or weaker than intelligence of the compared to a regular individual. For regular individuals, IQ is 120, his is at maximum 80. Umiyu misapkele, however, Shaila is idaita tzilusa, ilab daita tzilusa. What is pshat in his intelligence? Does he have clarity? It's like only 80 instead of 120, but does he have clarity? Uli oilam choda daitahu, and it's always on the same level of clarity. It's always at that same level. Oidilmo, maybe Reb Lozer is holding the following. Pshitale the daita klishta, velav daita tzlusu. For sure, he holds that number one, he has a weaker level of intelligence, the 80 as opposed to the 120. And under normal circumstances, lav daita tzlusu, he also has no clarity. And therefore, it's zero. What's the shaila over here? L'moshel legabe the eishes chayrish kimen the itim cholim the itim shoita. Maybe sometimes his mind is clear and sometimes not. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is on the second tzad, according to this shaila of Reb Lazar, maybe the pshat in a chayrish, the reason why we don't attribute to him the normal intelligence of a regular individual, besides the fact that, of course, Daita Klishta, that he has a lower IQ, but maybe also the reason is because sometimes there are hills and sometimes there are valleys in his intelligence. Some days he wakes up and he has some brights, and therefore he is akin to a regular normal individual, and some days he's just totally deranged. And you're going to ask me, Lamay Nafkimina, Who cares? This reason, that reason, this reason. You know, there's enough given. Lohitzi ishta beget. What happens if he marries and afterwards he wants to give a get? So then, just like he married, like the Gemara said before, Remizoysev and Kritzoysev, the same level of intelligence that he had by Kedushin, he had by Gerushin, if you're learning like the first Tzat. But if you're learning like the second Tzat of the Ibai, the Amris, Itim Cholim, the Itim Shaita, sometimes he's clear and sometimes he's Shaita, then it could be Kedushin Motzim Akadish. One day when he did the Kedushin, maybe his mind was crystal clear, and therefore the Kedushin was effective, perhaps even Minha Toira. But when he wants to give the get, Kirush Loi Motzim Akadish, because maybe on that day his mind was not clear, his mind was in the dumps. We said one day he's a Cholim, one day he's a Shaita, so maybe the Kedusha was Kedusha min HaTorah, if he had the intelligence on that day. And the reason why he can't give a get is because Nebuch, that day, Nebuch, it's, he's in the valley. He's not on the hill, he's in the valley, and he's a Shoit, he's deranged. So Timur Amai is Teiku. We don't know exactly what the Svar of Reblozer is. We just know that Reblozer says that it's all a big Suffolk. I don't know what the reason is for the Suffolk. Right, it says in the Mishnah Nishtatis, if Chas V'Sholom, the wife becomes a Shoita, he should not give her a get. Even though if the same woman, if she becomes nischarish, he can give her a get, bal karcha. If she becomes nebuch ha-shoita, he should not give her a get. Omri Yitzchak, dvar toira shoita miskareshes, midi dehave apikchis, bal karcha. Since we know that a person can go and divorce his wife, min ha-toira bal karcha, so then even if the wife happens to be a shoita or a chareshes, it makes no difference. You don't need their das, you don't need their consent, you can do a bal karcha. So why did we say that if a husband goes and marries a shoita, that he cannot give her a get? That's midrabanan shleininaguba minig hefker. Because if you have a lady that's unfortunately deranged, and you're going to give her a get, it will work. But midrabanan, what's going to happen is she's going to walk the streets, and unfortunately people will take advantage of her. She will be easy prey for any perpetrators that want to chas v'sholom perpetrate a sin with this young lady. So therefore we say, Minderabanan, don't be megarish a shaita. Dr. Can you explain to me her level of intelligence or the absence thereof? If she has at least enough intelligence, and if you give her a get, she knows to put it away in a safe place, and she's able to go and be shomeris at atzma, not to go and be easy prey for people. So then nobody's going to be knowing minigafka because she has at least that level of intelligence. When she sees Absashai gets coming close, she'll run away, she'll flee. Ella, are you going to tell me that unfortunately her level of intelligence is very, very little? Then you das lishmo loy get to leatzma. She cannot hold on to a get and she can't go and take care of herself. So Ibazoi, why did you say Omer Yitzchak Dvar Toira Shoita Miskareshes? If you have a girl that is nebuch so deranged that she cannot go and even take care of her get, you give her a get, she thinks that you're giving her a toy, or she thinks you're giving her just a piece of paper and she'll just go and toss it, then you cannot give a get to this woman min ha toira. But on Rabbi Shmuel, the same type of limud v'shulchem ibeisa misha mishalcha ve'ena chizeres yotzu shemishalcha v'chizeres. In the parsha of get it says v'nosan miyada v'shulchem ibeisa v'holcha v'hoisli yish acher. When can you go and have an effective get? Only that lady that has enough seichel that when you send her away she knows not to come back. However, if you send her away and she comes back 10 minutes later, she doesn't know what's going on. And therefore, that get is not effective min ha-toyra. So you said, dvar toyra shoyta miskareshes. So one of shach, if she has enough intelligence to go and be shoymer as gitta, then she has enough intelligence to be shoymer as atzma. So you don't have to be masakin any takona of shema yinagu min ha-kefker. And why she doesn't have enough intelligence, no urbazoi, then she can't go and be megarishim min ha-toyra. And you said, dvar toyra shoyta miskareshes. It's talking about that it's a compromise in the middle. She has enough seichel to know that this is an important document. She shouldn't just leave it on the table and let it be tossed in the trash bin. That she knows. However, the Shmar is atzma to be careful not to allow men to get closer that she doesn't have enough seichel for. So therefore, Dvar Torah Shoyta Miskareches, so Yedas Lishmar Gitta, so we are Mekayim, the two Psukim, and Asim Biyoda, Vishulchim Yibesai. However, Merabon Alay Rivka, don't go and give her a get. Shleina Gomo Mina Gefka. Om Rabbi, Daikanami Diktoni, I'll bring you a ride that that's Takib Shad. Diktoni Gabi Dido, Nishtatis Lo Yoitzi, the Gabi Dide Lo Yoitzi Eilomis. Yesterday in the Mishnah we said that if she becomes a shoita, lo yoitzi. If he becomes a shoita, the husband who originally was a biker, if never he became deranged, lo yoitzi oila mis. The why by the lady when she becomes nishtatis, we just say lo yoitzi, and the man when he becomes nishtateh, we say lo yoitzi oila mis. Maishna hachar ektoni oila mis, maishna hasun do ektoni oila mis. Alishma min hadiyarais hadraban. The word oila mis was put in by Bikavona, by Rebbeinu HaKadosh, to tell you that this is real permanent, because it's minat oira. The person becomes ashoita. Unfortunately, that's the end of it. Unless, of course, he becomes normal again. But in the meantime, as long as he's deranged, that's yoitzi oila mis. There's no possibility in the world for him to be able to give a get, minat oira, midrabon, and zero. Mashenke, the Gabi, if she's nishtatis, Minatoyah, you would be able to give a get. It's the Rabbanim that you can't give a get. So therefore, it's Layoitzi. It's kind of a lower form of Layoitzi. It's not that Layoitzi with a capital Lamed and a capital Yud. It's a lower Lamed, a lower Yud. Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now, what did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ask? Let's take a look in the Mishnah for the Lashon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because Gemara is going to focus on the text. At the beginning of the Mishnah, we said that if you had a case of a Cheresh and a pikchiz, then he cannot go and give her a get. If you have a case of a pikeach and a chareshes, you can give a get. So the third wide line, Umar Bichmanuri, Mepnei Maho Isha Shenischarisha Yoitze, how come she can receive a get? Vu'ish Shenischarish Eina Moitze, however, if he becomes a chareish, he cannot give a get. What's the manishtana, the ish or the isha? So Amulai, they told him very simple. Ain't a doima isha megarish isha hamis isha megarish isha miskareshes. She isha yoitza liritzoina v'shaloi ritzoina. You don't need her consent. You don't need her permission. You don't need her das. So therefore, if she comes nischarish, give her a get. V'ish ain't a moitza liritzoina. It has to be with his full consent, knowledge, and you know that the mind is working. Without that, he can't go and give a get. So the question the Gemara asks is, what was bothering Rabbi Yochanan Nuri when he said, what's the difference between isha and ish? Was he happy with halacha of isha? He was just concerned about the halacha of ish. Or was he happy with halacha of ish? He was concerned with halacha of isha. That's the Gemara Shaila. Iboil, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Ish pshitalei. Ishi understood that the ish cannot give a get if he becomes nischarish. The isha come iboil. And he was wondering, but why can the isha be miskareshes, even though she's nischarsha? Oy Dilma, Isha Pshitla, that I understand that you can give a get to an Isha, even Shaloi Kirtzoina, never she became Nischarish. The Ish coming by his child is the Gabi, the Ish. Toshima, Medika Omrulay, what was their response? Ain't the Dom Isha Megarish, the Isha Miskarashes, She Isha Yoitz, the Tzoina, Shaloi Litzoina, Visha Yoitz, the Tzoina. So why in the response did they say, Ain't the Dom Ish HaMegarish, the Isha Miskarashes? Why didn't they go and say, Ain't the Dom Isha Miskarashes, the Isha Megarish? Obviously, from the dialogue would be Medayik. His problem was with the Ish, and therefore they were trying to respond, and they're saying, Ish is different than the Isha. The Isha, which is by dear double parshit. You understand that? Ish is different than the Isha. Why don't you suggest the opposite? Right after that, the Mishnah says Afzu Kiyotzeba. The same thing applies to a case of a Bekech that married a Chareshes or a Ketana or other similar cases. Shema Mino Isha Kama Boile. From that Afzu Kiyotzeba to say that there are similar cases to that, so I see from that that the focus is on the Isha and not on the Ish. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri the Debrim Kamaluhu. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri didn't have the Shaila that we thought. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is not sure what's that. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, I know exactly what the Halach is. I hold that just like the Ish cannot be Megarish, the Isha also not cannot be Miskareshes. Now why can't she go and be Miskareshes? After all, we don't need her consent. So Toises yesterday on the Amud Bey said, because at the time that we're giving the Chareshes to get, she is Mishalcha V'Chizeres, which is what we said before, that a girl... just like a shoita. So even though later on the chareshes will understand what's happened and she's not going to come back again, but at least at the initial moment when she gets the get, she doesn't know what's going on. She's a chareshes, and therefore she'll be a shalcha b'chayzeres. And that's why, just like says Rabbi Yechim Anuri, just like he cannot give a get, she cannot be miskareshes. And the dechu, according to you guys that are distinguishing between isha v'ish, maishna ish, Amulais, they told him, inadam isha mikaresh, isha miskareshes. You can't go and compare the case one to the other. Here it's got to be with his full knowledge and consent, and she doesn't need consent at all, so therefore he cannot give it if he becomes a chayish, but she can receive it even if she becomes a chareshes. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudga. We started off with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and then 2 lines later we had Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudga. Halachareshes yaviyah she yoytzim again. Okay, zokti yamara omer Rava. Meidus Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudga omer leedim. If a person says to edim, Reu get ze she'ani noisein. You see this get that I'm going to give to my wife. The omalah kinti shtar choiv ze. He is now, if you will, trying to deceive his wife. Maybe he doesn't want her to go and break down and cry, or maybe he himself is trying to deny that they're engaging in a divorce. So instead of telling her that this is a get, he tells her this is a shtar choif. I owe you money. Of course, it's much nicer to receive a loan document that I owe you money rather than receiving a get. He showed the edim in advance that this is a get, so they should know this is the real McCoy. When he gave it to her, he said, "Kinti shtar choiv zeh, harizim gureshes." Shteito in the said rova based on the edush of Yechim and Gudgeda, that what? It is a fundamental difference between the husband and wife, that the husband has to be with his full seichel and das. However, it doesn't have to have her consent or her das. Harizim gureshes, the get is a good get. Why? We don't need her das for purposes of a get. So therefore, in this case, when he tells her kinti shtar choiv zeh, where she is being fooled, you don't need her das. So therefore, the get works. I don't understand what the chiddush is over here. How about if you don't need her das, you don't need her das? The same with the amalei kinti shtar choiv zeh betuli batle. Maybe by going and saying about this get that this is a loan document, as a note, as opposed to a get, maybe by his dibur he's being mavatlet. He's saying, don't look at the get. It's really not important. It's a loan. It's a transfer. It's another legal document.
It is. It's chayv and meksuva. In other words,
we're focusing now on the get. We're not focusing on the meksuva.
No, I'm saying the fact that he's giving her a get. He's saying this is a document which creates a liability for me. It's a shtar chov. It is. It creates a liability for him to pay the meksuva.
Okay. So you're saying
it's a misleading but true statement.
But Igmar is saying is that I might have thought that by giving it this title of shtar choiv, betuli batle, he's being mavatlet that it's not a get, and therefore it should not be effective. Kamash malon, so the chiddush is not whether you need her seichel, her das, her consent. We know that from Rabbi Yechim and Gudgadon, we don't need rava. It's a double poshet that we don't need her das, her consent, her acquiescence. It can all be done by Korcha, and therefore he can fool her and deceive her and say it's this document, that document. The chiddush is that I might have thought by his giving it a new title of a loan or of a note that there is mavatel to get kamashlo no, because he isa the batle. If Yutaka wanted him mavatel la edim avakom lehu. After all, he had an exchange with the edim. He said ru get that. I'm going to lay on the edim. Since he didn't say to the edim, I know it looks like a get and smells like a get and reads like a get, but it's really a shtar choif. He didn't say that. He showed it to get loy batle v'lemidi. It's gunish mit gunish. And therefore, the reason why Hitaka told her that it's a shtar choiv, it's because Kisufi was embarrassed to go and tell her the truth, that unfortunately there's a parting of the ways and you're going to have to leave and I feel bad for you, but nevertheless, that's the way it is, and that's the way it is.
So he's given her, oh, I owe you money, but he's not saying, oh, you're going to have to pack your bags and leave, I mean...
Yeah.